My name is Brother Stephen Austin McGarry Wiggins. I'm from Vidor, Texas. I'm the preacher there. We got Brother Bash Bristow. Currently, he is preaching. He's the minister at the Rosa Road Church of Christ in Phoenix. And Brother Bash, we just simply ask that you come on and let the hammer down and let us know what God has to say. So come on, we'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Wiggins. And thank you to all who have taken this opportunity to join this nationwide gospel call. I'm so grateful and thankful for the work of Brother Tommy Brooks, Brother Anthony Flunder, Brother Wiggins, and so many brothers that labor alongside Brother Brooks just to get the gospel message out. I am privileged and I'm honored just to be able to share this message. I also want to bring you greetings from the Rosa Road Church of Christ, where I serve as the minister and I work under the eldership of Brother John Turner, George Sampson, and Tom Davis. Tonight, I want to ask you to please go to your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. The Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." Then verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." I want to focus your attention tonight back on the A clause of verse number 3, where the Hebrew writer says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Tonight, as we gather in the presence of the Almighty God to delve into the profound wisdom of Hebrews 2 and verse 3, these words, though concise, carry a weighty message that resonates through the corridors of time, challenging us to examine the very core of our faith and salvation. The author of Hebrews poses a moving question that echoes through the ages. How shall we escape if we ignore so great salvation? This question demands our attention, for it strikes at the heart of our relationship with God and our eternal destiny. Let us reflect on the profound words penned by the author of Hebrews, urging us to ponder the gravity of our salvation. In Hebrews 2, verse 3, again, we are confronted with a question that demands our attention and introspection. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? First and foremost, brothers and sisters and visitors and friends, let us contemplate the magnitude of the salvation that has been offered. It is not a trivial matter or a fleeting emotion. It is a salvation of cosmic proportions orchestrated by the very hand of God. It is a salvation that transcends human understanding, reaching into the depths of our souls and transforming us from the inside out. This salvation was not an afterthought or a contingency plan. It was meticulously planned and executed from the foundation of the world. It was first announced by the Lord himself, a proclamation of hope and redemption that reverberated through the heavens and the earth. It was confirmed to us by those who walk with him, eyewitnesses to him or to his miraculous works and his profound teaching. But yet, in the face of such overwhelming grace, we are confronted with the sobering reality, the possibility of neglecting this great salvation. To ignore it, to treat it with indifference or apathy, is to spurn the very love of God that was poured out for us on the cross. It is to turn away from the only source of true life and hope, choosing instead the fleeting pleasures of this world. But why? But why would anyone choose to ignore such a salvation? The answer lies in the deceitfulness of sin and the distractions of this present age. We become consumed by the cares of life, ensnared by the allure of material possessions and earthly pursuits. We chase after happiness and fulfillment in all the wrong places, failing to realize that true joy can only be found in Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer presents salvation not as a trivial matter, but as something of immense significance, a gift so vast and invaluable that to neglect it would be utter folly. This salvation is not a mere concept. It is a divine reality, one that was first proclaimed by the Lord himself. It is the culmination of God's redemptive plan, the fulfillment of his promise to reconcile humanity to himself. But yet, despite the clarity of this proclamation, there is a warning embedded within the text, a warning against indifference, apathy, and neglect. The author challenges us to consider the consequences of disregarding such a magnificent salvation. For to turn a blind eye to this gift is to risk losing the very essence of life, hope, and purpose. But why would anyone ignore such a salvation? Again, the distractions of this world, the cares of life, and the allure of sin often cloud our vision and dull our spiritual senses. We become ensnared by the transient pleasures of this world, forgetting the eternal weight of glory that awaits those who embrace Christ's salvation. Neglect is a subject we need to think about this evening. It can become a serious matter if we're not careful. If we neglect our health, it will lead to serious problems. If we neglect our homes or things, they will begin to fall apart. If we neglect our responsibilities, things typically pile up to the point that we become overwhelmed. Or worse, irreparable damage is done in the areas that we neglect. All these examples have in common that problems are created because we neglect to do what we ought to do. Now, I want us to think about this word that the author uses, neglect. We neglect things that we think are not that important. Think about the things you have neglected. Why did you neglect those things? Did you neglect things that are really important to you? The things we neglect are the things we do not value as being very important. If we do not value our job, then we neglect it. If we do not value our spouses and our children, then we neglect them. Neglect speaks to the lacking an importance or value to something. To neglect this salvation is to despise God's revelation and treat it as nothing. We are saying that we do not care for it and we're not concerned with it. We may say that we do care, but our actions show that we do not when we neglect this salvation. Now we need to pull this together. If the law of Moses delivered by the angels proved to be reliable in that every disobedience and transgression received the just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect what has been delivered to us by the Son of God, Jesus Christ? You see, that this is the point of the rest of verses 3 and 4. This message of salvation was declared again by the Lord himself, Jesus, the Son of God. Not angels and not Moses. This message was confirmed to us by those who heard it spoken, like the apostles. Further, this message was confirmed by God testifying to the message by signs, wonders, and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit. Miracles were performed to prove the validity of the message given by the Lord Jesus through the apostles. Now, I want us to think about that for a minute because this is a very important statement by the Hebrew writer. The purpose of the signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit were to testify and confirm the message declared. There is no need for such things today because those miracles and gifts were to confirm the message declared by God. Miracles do not exist for their own sake. Miracles do not point to themselves. Miracles attest and validate God's major work in redemptive history. Miracles attest and confirm the truth about the identity and work of Jesus. The miracles validate this great salvation. So, friends, this is why we must pay more careful attention to what we have heard. We must be careful to pay attention to it and not neglect it, because if the law of Moses delivered by angels brought judgment for disobedience, what do we think is going to happen if we neglect Jesus' message? It isn't going to get any better for us. Again, the author reminds us that salvation was not only proclaimed by the Lord himself, but it was also confirmed to us by those who heard him. It is a truth that has been handed down through generations, testified by eyewitnesses, and preserved for us in the sacred scriptures. Therefore, we have no excuse for neglecting so great a salvation. So let me press upon your hearts tonight as I make my way to the conclusion. There are some great, great, great Bible questions for all of us to consider and ponder upon. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, the question is asked, am I my brother's keeper? In Job chapter 14, verse 14, the question is asked, if a man dies, will he live again? In Matthew 27, verse number 22, the question is asked, what shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Christ? The question is asked in Acts 16, verse number 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And tonight, the question is asked in Hebrews chapter 2, and verse number 3, how shall we escape if we ignore or neglect such a great salvation? What makes it great? What makes it a great salvation? I want you to hear me tonight. Make note of the scriptures that I'm about to reference. But to answer the question, what makes it a great salvation? Let me say, salvation is great because of God's great love. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is great because of the price Jesus paid to secure forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7 says, in him, that is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Salvation is great because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which assures our resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Salvation is great because of the change it brings to the lives of true believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Salvation is great because it gives us eternal life and delivers us from death. John chapter 5, verse number 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. But I just told you, what salvation is great. But I want to give some emphasis on a few other points. I want to emphasize the so great portion in that verse. Salvation is so great because of the price that was paid for it. Paul said, ye are bought with the price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. That price was paid with Jesus Christ's own blood, Acts 20 and 28. Jesus' blood is called precious in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. So Jesus paid a price that he did not owe. In other words, Jesus paid it all. Salvation is so great, my friend, because of the plan that precedes it. The word tupos in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 means form or plan or pattern. The gospel plan of salvation is the mold. It is the form. Those who are obedient to the plan are granted freedom from sin, Romans 6:18. This plan includes faith, Romans 10:17. This plan includes repentance, Acts 17 and verse 30. This plan includes confession, Matthew 1, 32 and 33. And this plan includes baptism, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. This plan is so great, my friend, because of the peace that it produces. You know, peace is valuable. Peace is so valuable that money has been spent, wars have been waged, and battles have been fought, all in the name of peace. But Jesus made peace between God and mankind at the cross, Ephesians 2, 14 through 17, and Romans 5, verse number 1. Therefore, all that are in Jesus Christ are one, according to Galatians 3:27, and have the right to boldly enter the presence of God, Ephesians 2:18 and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Salvation is so great, my friend, because of the plea that it proclaims. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, "Be ye reconciled to God." As Christians, I am so grateful and thankful that I have this opportunity on this call tonight to proclaim to all those who are listening now and all those who will hear it later that Jesus saves. It is a great honor to be a child of God and to proclaim his excellencies. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Brothers and sisters and visitors and friends, salvation is so great because of the purpose for which it was purposed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Even in him, we are connected with the eternal oneness of Christ. Salvation is so great because of the promises that perpetuate faithfulness. God's promises are in the form of spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." The promises of the Lord are both abundant and infinite. James chapter 1 and verse number 17. Salvation is so great because of the place that is prepared for it. And that is heaven. Heaven is far better than anything here on earth. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Heaven is an inheritance that is incorruptible. Heaven is undefiled, meaning it is free from contamination, and it never fades away. It is the place, heaven that is. It is the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 7. And rest assured, heaven will surely be worth it all. So let me close with this. I want to thank God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, for his unspeakable gifts. Knowing the greatness of the gift of Christ, how sad for those who miss heaven altogether. Let us never lose sight of the gift and the value of that so great salvation. Let us not be among those who ignore so great a salvation, but instead, let us embrace it wholeheartedly, living lives that are worthy of the calling we have received. May we never lose sight of the incomparable gift of salvation that has been lavished upon us by our gracious God. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 serves as a sobering reminder of the importance of paying attention to salvation offered through Jesus Christ. Neglecting this great salvation carries eternal consequences that cannot be ignored. So therefore, let us heed the call. Let us heed the call to attention, embracing the gift of salvation with gratitude and living faithfully for Christ, lest we face the tragic outcome of neglect. This so great salvation, it has a story. And that story is centered on Jesus Christ. Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane after being betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who identified him to the Roman soldiers by kissing him. After his arrest, Jesus was taken to the high priest, Caiaphas, where he was interrogated and faced accusations from various false witnesses. He was then sent to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, who found no basis for a death sentence, but still he offered the crowd a choice between releasing Jesus or Barabbas, who was a criminal. And the crowd chose to release Barabbas. But despite his initial reluctance to execute Jesus, Pilate yielded to the crowd's demand to crucify him. And Pilate had Jesus flogged, which was a brutal punishment that involved whipping with a multi-lash whip containing embedded pieces of bone and metal. While Jesus was forced to carry his own cross to the site of his execution, known as Golgotha, the place of the skull, due to his severe physical beating, he had endured. He was unable to carry the cross the entire way. So Simon of Cyrene was compelled by the soldier to carry it for him. Jesus' death and his crucifixion was between two thieves. Keep in mind that crucifixion was a particularly painful and humiliating form of public execution used by Romans, intended as a deterrent against crime. Nails were driven into Jesus' wrists and feet, and he was left to hang, which ultimately led to his death by asphyxiation. And during the crucifixion, Jesus endured several hours of suffering, during which he spoke several statements, including expressions of forgiveness for his executioners and care for his mother. Jesus' last moment before his death, according to the Gospel of John, said, "It is finished," signifying the completion of his earthly mission and fulfillment of the scriptures. He then bowed his head and gave up his spirit. But that wasn't enough. But to ensure Jesus was dead, a Roman soldier pierced his side with a spear, from which came blood and water. But after confirming his death, Jesus' body was taken down from the cross and buried in a borrowed tomb donated by Joseph of Arimathea. The death of Jesus on the cross, brothers and sisters and visitors and friends, is pivotal as it represents the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of humanity, offering redemption and the promise of eternal life to those who would be obedient to his plan of salvation. So what does this mean? What must we do? This so great salvation, it comes with the heavenly plan. First, you have to have belief in Jesus Christ. Belief in Jesus Christ starts with hearing the word of God. Preaching and teaching the gospel as it is described in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, is so critical. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." After hearing the gospel, a person, you that are listening, you must believe and have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. This belief is not merely an intellectual assent, but involves trusting Jesus for salvation. Hebrews 11, verse 6 notes, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Also, you must repent of your sins. Repentance is a crucial step in the plan of salvation. It involves a sincere, and I said sincere, turning away from sin and turning towards God. 17, verse 30 commands, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." And not only repentance, you must confess faith in Christ. Confession of one's faith in Jesus Christ is another essential step in this great plan of salvation. This public confession is an acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." But then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Baptism by immersion is taught as necessary for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 instructs, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then after your life has been changed by obedience and you are baptized and you are raised to walk in the newness of life, the Lord will add you to his church, those who are being saved. So as a Christian, You are now expected to live a life of holiness and service and obedience to God's command. And this involves continual spiritual growth. It involves participation in the work of the church. It involves spreading the gospel. It involves so many things. But just remain faithful unto death. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 encourages Christians to live a life pleasing to God as an act of worship. So brothers and sisters and visitors and friends, we must heed the admonition of Scripture and embrace this salvation with all of our hearts, with all our minds, and all our souls. We must not treat this so great a salvation lightly or take it for granted, but instead cherish it as the greatest treasure we could ever possess. I want to thank you tonight. And if you heard what I've preached, and if you have any questions about what I've preached and taught tonight, please get in contact with Brother Wiggins, Brother Tommy Brooks, any of the brothers who are working on this nationwide gospel call. Feel free to call me or email me, because if you give me a Bible question, I'll give you a Bible answer. But if my heart's desire is that this message prick your heart, and if you are outside of Christ, you would obey before it is everlasting too late. And if you are in Christ, that you be renewed and revived to go and tell others about this so great salvation. I want to thank Brother Wiggins. I want to thank all the brothers who worked on this gospel call. I want to thank Roger Rhodes for dialing in. I want to thank everybody who have taken the time to dial in. So at this time, I want to turn this back over to our dear Brother Wiggins. Thank you all, and God bless you.